sharing with us about is in Luke. Luke 18, and I'm going to read verses 11 17, 11 through 19, is that right? As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed." He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's give our attention to that.
We'll have to be a little more interactive this morning to try to keep everybody warm. So I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, and I'm going to ask for you to start the message this morning. I want you all to participate as we begin today and tell me what it is that you're thankful for. Feel free just to shout out a few things as they come to your mind.
Family.
What are you thankful for? What was that?
Family.
Family.
Family and Christian church.
Christian church.
Good health.
Health.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Good food.
Good food.
Volunteer workers.
Jobs and volunteer workers.
Salvation.
The vision of Peter and Peter and the children's home in the free gospel.
That's the work in Uganda, yes.
Our WRE program.
Here. WRE?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Christian colleges. And seminaries, yeah. Sometimes we're more thankful for those things.
To live in a free country.
To live in a free country. You folks are doing an excellent job getting us started here this morning.
Students.
Well, we are thankful for many things, that's safe to say, correct? We are thankful for many things. But do you ever take the chance to thank the one that gave these things to you? Because it's great to be thankful for something. But what does that mean if you don't take the opportunity to share those things with the one who has provided them for you? It's one thing to be thankful, but it's another thing entirely to actually thank the one who has provided these things for us. So what are you thankful for? This is a question that we often are asked this time of year. And we are asked this question so that we might reflect on what has been given to us. And I think this is a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful exercise to reflect on the things that we have been given. But reflection is only for us. It's very personal. It's good for our growth. But what about the person who has given us what we've been given? The ones who have blessed us with so many things. Reflection is good, but thanking someone is actually better. And it takes us out of our comfort zone at times to go to someone and thank them for what they have done for us. But it is important that we not only reflect on what we're thankful for, but that we go to someone and tell them, "Thank you for what you have done." Now, I realized this past week, as I returned home to spend a few days with my family, just how much I have been given in my life. For the first 20-some years of my life, I was given a place to sleep, but I was never given a bill to pay for my housing. I was given food to eat, but I never had to leave a tip after dinner. I was given an education in both my secular school and in Sunday school growing up, but I never saw a tuition bill for this. I never paid a cent for many of these things that I am thankful for. I've never paid a dime, but yet I don't even And I'm very thankful that my family has given me all these things. But I had never thanked them for giving me so many things growing up. As Martin was saying something earlier about the heat, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And this is very appropriate, I think, for many of our lives, because we take for granted the things that have been given to us. And I think it would be appropriate for myself and for all of you to be more conscious and making an effort to thank people whenever they give us something. I'm going to make more of an effort to thank my parents whenever they put us up for a weekend when we come home. I'm going to make more of an effort to thank God for the many blessings that He has poured out so abundantly upon me and upon Sonia as we have moved to Virginia and become self-sufficient in our lives. And I thank you this morning, Stanton Mennonite Church, for inviting me into this role as a pastor in this church. I thank you for allowing me to serve you in this manner. And I do not take this for granted. I thank you so much for this opportunity to strengthen my abilities as a pastor and to share with you the words that God has given me and laid upon my heart. And also this morning, I just want to thank God again for calling me into the ministry. Because again, after spending the last few days with my family at home on a dairy farm, after waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I realized just how much I do appreciate that God did not call me to be a dairy farmer, but called me to a life of ministry. Now this past week, many Americans celebrated Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was first observed in the year 1611, whenever the early settlers of this country were celebrating an abundant harvest in their new relations with the Native Americans in this country. Now, the first recorded recollection of this first Thanksgiving is by Edward Winslow in his journal dated December 12, 1611. And in his journal, Edward Winslow writes, "Our corn did prove well, and God be praised. We had a good increase in Indian corn, and our barley indifferent good. But our peas not worth the gathering, for we feared they were too late sown. They came up very well in blossom, but the sun parched them in the blossom. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, so that we might, after a special occasion, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of the labors. They tore in 1 day, killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest, the great king Massasoit. With some 90 men whom 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on their governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it's not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from what that we want, and we often wish to partakers of our plenty." That's very choppy English, and it was very hard to read, and I should have practiced that a few times before I tried reading it this morning. But the point that Winslow is trying to make, and he says it very clearly at the beginning, he says, "God be praised." Winslow is very aware of who it is that provided these bountiful amounts of food and friends for them in this situation. Now this is important to remember because it seems as if our country has tried to secularize every holiday that we as Christians have established. Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving were all established as Christian holidays. But Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny have replaced Jesus Christ's birth and death. And Thanksgiving now is more about eating than it is about giving thanks to God for what He has given to us. So this morning, I think we need to focus on the phrase that Winslow said, "God be praised." We need to remember to give our thanks to God as we celebrate what God has given to us. We must remember to give thanks to God. Now, in the scripture that Kathy read to us from Luke 17, we find Jesus passing through a village. And as Jesus is passing through this village, 10 lepers approach him. And we've had some experience reading through the Bible where we have found other cases of leprosy. And we know that leprosy can be anything as mild as a bad case of acne and as severe as a life-threatening disease. People die from leprosy in these days. And we have no idea of knowing how severe these cases were of these 10 lepers, how bad their leprosy was. But we know that it was bad enough that they were not able to socialize with the other people in their towns. They had to stay amongst themselves in groups of lepers because no one else could touch them or be with them because of the Levitical laws. So these lepers were looking for a healing. And the word must have been out that this man named Jesus Christ was a great healer because they sought him out. And when they heard that Jesus was in their town, they approached Jesus, and they yelled from a distance because they couldn't get too close to him. And they yell in verse 13, they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is the first thing that they do when they see Jesus walking down the street. And it's very important to notice that they don't just call him out by name, but they recognize him for who he is. They recognize him as being Master. He's not just some man to them, but they see him as being a superior being. He is their Master. And Jesus replies to them in verse 14. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, Jesus says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Jesus sends them to the priest because only the priest could declare these men as being healed. Jesus knows that they must go to the priest so that they can once again regain their social status and be able to interact with people once again. But the problem is, they have not yet been healed. So why does Jesus send them to the priest if they have not yet been healed? Well, Jesus was testing their faith. And they were strong in their faith because they went to the priest even though they had not been yet healed. They still had this leprosy when they took off and started making the trip to see the priest. And it was on their way to see the priest that they were healed. It was as they were making that trip of faith that their bodies were restored. Now it's important to note that these lepers did everything right up to this point. They saw themselves in need of healing. They sought healing from the one who could provide it. And when they went to Jesus, they recognized him as being more than just a person. They recognized him as being their Master, a being superior to them. They call him Master. And when Jesus tells them to do something, to show themselves to the priest, even though they had not yet been healed, they do that out of faith. They go to see the priest, even though they are still lepers. So it is up to this point that these lepers do everything right. They have faith in Jesus Christ. But it is when he gives them healing, when Jesus gives them what they're looking for, that 9 of them take a wrong turn. That 9 lepers take the detour. Because 9 of them ran off and never came back to thank Jesus. Now it's impossible for us to know how far these lepers had gone before they were actually healed. They maybe have only taken a few steps away towards the priest before their skin was restored like new. But I think it's very likely that they had traveled a bit of a distance because if they had only gone a few steps, probably all 10 would have gone back to thank Jesus for this healing. But because there might have been a distance, they decided they would rather celebrate their restored health rather than returning the thanks and giving thanks to Jesus. So we might assume that if they were closer to him, maybe all 10 would have given thanks. And we might assume also that maybe sometime along their lives they ran into Jesus again and that they gave him thanks at that point. But we are only making assumptions here. And we only know for sure that one came back. We can only assume whether or not the others ever gave thanks to Jesus. Because sometimes people do go out of their way to give thanks. But this is not always the case. And I have a story here for you. about a young man who was a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois. And this man was a part of a life-saving squad along the coast of Lake Michigan. And in 1860, a ship went aground on the shores of Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. And this young man by the name of Edward Spencer waded out again and again to try to rescue 17 passengers from this ship. And in this frigid water, this man's helm was permanently damaged. He was injured for the rest of his life. And some years later, whenever this man did die, it was noted that not one of the people that he rescued from that boat that day had ever said thank you to him. Now I'm sure that all those people, all 17 who had their lives saved by that man, were thankful for what he had done. But not a single one had gone back to tell him thank you. But in our story from today, we find that one leper did return to thank you, to give thanks to Jesus. This one leper decided that it was more important for him to go back and thank his healer than to go off and celebrate his renewed life. So how did this leper give thanks to Jesus? Did he simply go up to Jesus and go up to his side, say, Jesus, here, and say, excuse me, sir, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for the healing that you gave me today. Was this leper very reserved in this manner and just go up and thank you, just wanted to say thank you? No, he wasn't just quiet and reserved like this. He was so excited. He had been healed. All his life he had been separated. As long as he had this disease, he had to be separated from his family and friends, from his loved ones, from strangers, from anybody who was not a leper. He had to be separated from these people. And he had been healed and given life anew because of this man, Jesus Christ. So he goes back praising God in a loud voice, is the way the NRSV reads. He goes back praising God in a loud voice for this healing that he was receiving. And he goes to Jesus and he says, thank you. Thank you for giving me life once again. Thank you for restoring my health. Thank you for healing me today. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be loud when we give thanks. Quite the opposite is true. We can be silent and give thank yous. We can write thank you notes. We can whisper in people's ears, thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me. The important thing is that we do it. The important thing is that we return thanks for what people have done for us. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I really have no idea what it means to be seriously sick or injured. And I really don't know what it means to be a social outcast such as the lepers of these days. So I cannot fully grasp what it must have meant for this leper to be healed by Jesus that day in the village. I cannot understand the thing that he has gone through. I can't understand the way his life has changed. But what I do know is that through an encounter with Jesus Christ, this man's life has been changed. And I do know that the same thing is true for me as well. It is through an encounter with Jesus Christ that I chose to accept him as my Lord and Savior. It is through an encounter with Jesus Christ that I committed my life to serving him and him alone. And it is through an encounter with Jesus Christ that I am being saved from my sins and freed from my transgressions. And it is for that reason that I come back to Christ today. Because he has healed me as well. He has made this body new again and restored my health. And it is time to give thanks to Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper was given to us by Jesus as an act of remembering him. It was on that night when he was to be given to his enemies and betrayed that Jesus told his disciples as they shared his bread and wine, do this in remembrance of me. When Jesus tells his disciples to do this in remembrance of me, he's not telling them to simply sit around the table and talk about the good old days. He's not telling the disciples, reminisce about that time when Peter fell in the water when he tried to walk. He's not telling them to think about the good times and the bad times. What Jesus is telling them But he says, do this in remembrance of me. He's saying, remember the sacrifice that I made for you. Remember that I took your sins upon myself and died for you on the cross that day. Remember that I suffered in your place. And then, as we remember these acts of Christ, we're supposed to thank him for what he has done. Thanking him for bearing our burdens. In some of the more liturgical churches, they refer to the Lord's Supper or communion as the Eucharist. And the word Eucharist literally means give thanks. And I think that's very appropriate that we think of the Lord's Supper as a time of giving thanks. A time to give thanks to Jesus Christ for the many things that he has done for us. A time to give thanks for the sacrifice that he has made for us on our part. So as we prepare to partake in the elements today, let us not be like the unthankful children who receive so much from their parents, who are given house and home, food and drink, clothes and shelter, and never return a thank you. Let us not be like the 9 lepers who were healed that day by Jesus and never return to thank him. Rather, let us be like the one leper who did return to give thanks that day, the one who was truly healed, both inside and out. For if we are in Christ, we too have been saved. Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for sending your Son to this earth for our sins. Thank you for the guide that he's been to our lives, showing us the way that we should live. And thank you for his sacrifice that was made for us that day on the cross. And we thank you again, Lord, for the many blessings that you poured out upon us. Let us not take these things for granted. Let us remember you in all things, and in all things give thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.